Good evening, everyone. John Henry Soto here, along with George Batista. As always, welcome to Counterparts. Welcome. My gosh, what can I say? How you doing, George?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. And of course, as always, I'm very thankful to be with you.
Thank you very much. I paid him to say that. my cousin. So we are excited. We have Christine Blanchette is going to be on the show today. And she has this awesome, awesome company called Run With It Fitness Entertainment. And she interviews these amazing, I'll start the show before we start the show. But please stay tuned because we're going to have a great conversation. So hang on tight and we'll be right back. I hate when I do that because I start the show before the show and I start, you know, and I'm like, well, let's just wait, John.
You get patience, John.
But I'm working on that. All right. Well, as I mentioned, Christine Blanchette is going to be on the show today. We're going to have a fantastic show. We're going to talk about fitness. We're going to talk about running. We're going to talk about interviewing. She interviews some great people and she's a great interviewer herself. So we're going to be kind of all in this world together, which is very exciting. So, George, before we start, I know we have some love we got to give. So why don't you give some love to our sponsor?
First of all, I love you, John. Just want to let you know that as we're giving love out here.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, aside from John, we always know that the Counterpart Show is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why Wellness Resources supplements are the top choice of health-conscious individuals around the world, including yours truly. Make sure you go to myvitaminresource.com to check out all the supplements that they have to offer. And today is the last day to take part in their sale. So their sale is 25% off their heart healthy supplement. So make sure you take advantage of that. And if you enter the promo code Counterparts, you will get free shipping on top of the 25% off. But remember, today is the last day. So again, go to myvitaminresource.com and check them out. All right. Let's talk a little bit about our guest today. We are very, very excited to have Christine Blanchette today. And just a little bit about her. Christine is a nationally published health and fitness writer, TV host, producer, and avid runner. Her show called Run With It features interviews with health and fitness professionals, athletes, and celebrities, and highlights subjects ranging from proper nutrition to training for marathons. She also hosts another show called The Closing Act, which profiles musicians and other movers and shakers in the entertainment industry. Christine is also a regular contributor for Livid Magazine, NY City, and has written stories for the Seattle Times and a Vancouver Sun. When she isn't busy hosting and writing, she is a running instructor at the University of British Columbia. And I tell you what, we have so much to talk about between fitness, running, artists, acting, musicians. I mean, she does it all, and we're very, very excited to have her on the program. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Christine Blanchette.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, what a great introduction, and I'm so happy to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
It's definitely our pleasure to have you on here. Like George said, you know, there's just so many elements of our lives, us three, that really, really just coexist in in this world. We're very excited to kind of talk to you about how it all started and the whole journey that you're on right now. And it's really exciting. So we're very excited. George, I know you have some prepared questions as you do. We're going to start with the first one and then we're going to rock and roll.
Absolutely. So I kind of dove into, you know, your TV shows and, you know, all the stuff that you've been doing. I watched a lot of your interviews and also your tips on running, which were great, fantastic health and nutrition stuff. So I really, you know, that really caught me, especially because I love that stuff, you know. So I want to know from you, like in the beginning, you know, when you were younger, was health and fitness something that was, you know, something that you did when you were young? Was it encouraged by your family? Were you into fitness, or did you kind of get into that later? Because I know you started running, I think, like you became an avid runner, I think, in the late 90s, right?
Yes.
Did you start like early just in fitness in general, or?
Well, I ran for points. And what I mean by that, my older brother was the real runner.
Okay.
His name is John. He said to me one day, and I think I was in high school, and he says, "Christine, I want you to run for points." And I go, "What do you mean run for points on the track team? And I thought, okay, why not do it? And little did I know, I showed some talent. So I ran the 400 meters. I ran 200 and cross country, which I love.
Wow.
And then it just went from there. And then little did I know, I made it into the zones before the provincials. Like my brother, as I said, was a real runner. Right. And we set a high school record for the medley. So one ran one 400, which I was the one, and then a 2 and an 8, and I think an 100. But yes.
Wow. That's
little
so cool.
Little did I know.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And I wasn't really an athlete. I mean, I was always picked last in basketball because of my height.
Right.
I miss you here.
But yeah, and so I did a lot of solo sports like skating and running, as I said. So as I said, my brother was a real athlete, the real runner. But then I became one because it was all because of him saying that day, we need points, go for it.
That's wow. So great. And, you know, running is one of those things that, you know, I'll ask you, what's one of the biggest misconceptions that people have on running?
I think that sometimes people would think, well, it takes time. Well, yes, like any sport takes time. Right. But I also think it's a really good opportunity to have solo time. You can run anywhere and it doesn't cost anything. So, I really think that, yes, it does take training, and you're still going to do, you're going to do some huffing and puffing. There's no question about it. But the more you do, the better you become. So practice makes perfect. When I started back in running, I'm thinking, do I really want that? Do I really want to do all that sweating and hot and you're just exhausted? But then, you know, like anything in life, you have to work hard and there is a process.
It's also a wonderful journey to go through, you know, to see where it started, how difficult it was, and then you persevered and kept going. And at some point, it probably got a little easier, even though it's tougher. It's always has its challenges, but you've overcame that initial, you know, and that's always a gratifying feeling.
Yeah, it is. And I also think, too, that it takes support. It takes people to believe in you and doing the running. I mean, you have to believe in yourself, in anything. And yes, I had some talent, if you will, but I had to work on it. I had to find the right coach. I had to find the right support network. And then just by chance, I was doing an interview, a show called West Side Profile. And that's where, you know, I met my coach. And he said, you know what, let's go for a run. So I fell back in love with running again, because I did take a hiatus from high school, right?
Right.
So there was a gap from there. So I think running, I owe running a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I wouldn't be talking to you.
That's true. Absolutely. No, it's interesting when you find something that really just kind of, just takes you, like, for us, you know, when we started in music, you know, and when I got behind the drums for the first time, I was like, holy cow, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Like, you know, the feeling. And then I'm sure you feel this when you're running. It's like when if I'm, or even when I'm practicing, you kind of, all of a sudden, you're it's almost like an out of body experience, right? When you're playing, and all of a sudden you're just like, you're almost like you're floating, and it becomes effortless. Do you feel that when you're running, especially, you kind of get, and then I know they have that runner's high they talk about, but yes. do you feel that when you're doing that?
Oh, absolutely. And it feels so great. It's when I'm in my element, and you know, I'll be running, and it is like you said, George, an out of body experience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That comes my best lead for a story, or the best questions I'm going to ask my guests.
Yeah.
It just brings everything together.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, people out there listening and watching, it's the first 5 minutes that I always say to myself when I don't feel like running and it's cold out, because I'm always cold. Then if I can make it out 5 minutes, then I have it. I've overtaken it. Like, I can do it. It's just that, it's just psychological. Our minds are strong, really. We really are mentally strong. We just need to believe it and do it. And it's a creative arts like music or running. It's like anything in life, really.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier about talent, and then, you know, people can be born with talent. And we talk a lot about that on the show, you know, but you still also have to develop that talent and get the skill to really master that. And I think that's one of the things about so many things in art and in just life in general. Someone may have a talent born naturally with it, but they don't hone it. They don't take responsibility for it. They kind of think like they just have it, but they don't really work on it. They don't follow that passion. Or maybe it's not a passion. That's another thing too, right? They might have a talent, but then they're not passionate about the talent, you know? Yes. And do you remember when you found that passion? Like, you said to yourself, I'm going to do this. Was that in high school?
Even a little step back in elementary school, remember, and you're bringing out I remember it was like a foot race. Like, it was maybe not even, like maybe 30, 50 or 30 yards. I had to, was with the little kids, right? Because I was like 8 years old, and we had to run to the next, as I said, not very far, but I beat everyone. Wow. And I'm like, oh nice. My goodness.
Nice.
I can't, that feeling like,
yeah.
and then in high school, like I found out, like, it's just the passion grew. If that makes any sense. It's just, but also to never rest on your laurels, always keep moving and keep striving to do better.
Right, right.
I think that's strive, because and that's how you become. And we never stop learning, right? This way, when I go for a run, I always try to think, okay, how can I write a better lead? How can I run a bit faster? How can I, you know, do better stretches? Whatever the case may be, it's always striving. Every day, you can always make it a better day by being the best you can, but also trying to, you know, pass that finish line, go further. So
right,
that's awesome. And
yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it's kind of like a metaphor for life, you know, in general. It's like one of the things I've talked about in goal setting on my show and stuff like that, and I talk about the three P's. And in kind of when you want to do something, like the first is the planning, right, or the preparation, right? Then it's the perseverance of actually doing it and getting through it, okay? And then at the end, it's you have when you finally finish that goal, or you finish that the goal or the finish line, okay? And then you have this kind of, you know, happiness, basically, this whole thing. And what I wanted to ask you is, what, like, if someone's wants to run, and let's say they want to do a marathon or something like that, they want to do some kind of thing, and they had never done it before, they're training, they're in preparation, they're that type of thing, what kind of mindset? Because I know you train runners, you've instructed runners and that type of thing. what is the mindset that you talk to them about and that they need to have? Because obviously, you know, I mean, I've done little 3Ks, you know, years ago, and I was deathly afraid of doing it because I was like, am I going to make it? Am I going to pass out? You know, that type of thing. So, but what kind of mindset do you talk to them about as far as getting through it and kind of getting to the finish line?
I think it's taking baby steps. Being very patient with yourself. If you're going to learn a new instrument, you have to start somewhere. And that's what I tell in my clinic. I mean, I'm still teaching Learn to Run, but I've taught marathon. If people want to learn the marathon, to half marathons, and I always say you have to do your homework, but baby steps, you'll get there. If you, not only that, but listening to your body is the key. Following a proper running program and not going outside that program. Don't do double back workouts. Give yourself some rest. Recovery is important. But yes, baby steps. And believe in yourself, as I said at the top of the show. Yeah. It's all about believing in you, that you can do it with the proper tools. And that is the program, taking in baby steps, and having a mentor or an instructor who is going to take you to the finish line safely, and that you do want to continue on, you know, for another event. Maybe you're doing a 5K, then you want to do a 10K, and then the marathon.
Yeah, discipline, right? I mean, you have to really have a tremendous amount of discipline. But I think also you mentioned getting a mentor, and I think a lot of people don't see the value of a mentor. You know, like, they don't understand that you save so much time by bringing someone in that is already they've already walked that walk, they can talk that talk, and they can actually help you avoid the pitfalls of whatever it is, you know. There's so much information online right now, you know, that people can get lost in a sea of trying to figure out how to do anything, you know. So finding a good support system, I think what you said is really, really super vital to that, I think. Absolutely. So I had one question I wanted to talk about. We had mentioned earlier about, we talked about talent and we talked about skill, but there's another element which George touched upon with the mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're running, you said that there's that moment of like where you can really start thinking, you start getting more clear. And isn't that amazing? Because you're doing something you're passionate about. The body is moving. The blood flow is moving. You know, it's like when I'm playing guitar or when I'm doing something that I love to do, I suddenly get more creative, which kind of makes sense, right? Because, I mean, you're doing a creative thing, so you're operating at that level. How long do you think that you run, you know, and you said 5 minutes, and then you go into like that runner's high kind of thing?
Not 5 minutes, but you know, but it takes like, it depends on how long you've been running for. So for me, it would be like almost an hour where I feel like I'm having this out of body experience, is when you push your body and you're letting yourself run freely, and sometimes not running with a watch or an app. That is, I've been doing this now. I for a while,
interesting.
I actually wrote a piece on it, running watch list, like just listening to your body and going and not thinking about just you and the road.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the trail
Right.
And I feel like that's when I start getting my most creative self.
Yeah.
And it's just in such a high, right? A runner's high.
Yeah.
Yes. And
that's so interesting. It's so interesting because when you leave the watch or the technology away, then it's just really you and your run. It's you and yourself. You're not really bound to this thing that's timing you or that you have to kind of look at. You're just doing your run. If it's an hour, if it's an hour and a half, it is what it is, you know. That's wonderful. I mean, I grew up in New York, so I did a lot of running, but that was more intense. Not my choice. so I wanted to talk to you earlier, before we went live, you mentioned something about how everyone has a piece of the pie,
Yes.
You know, and I think in this world of social media, and you know, people get really discouraged when they see so many people doing so many things, but there's room for everyone.
Yes.
You know, can you talk a little bit about that and your philosophy on that?
Yes, I think when you think that way, because everybody has a story to tell, everybody has talent, is knowing what your talents are. And when before we went live, you know, everyone, there is a piece of pie for everyone, because we can only be you. I can't be someone else. I can only, and that's what, I mean, I'm using the word sells or promotes yourself. You can have a podcast, and it's really inspiring to take inspiration from others. But in the end, if you are you, no one can copy you. They can only, and that is the real, the nugget, if you will. Like, that's how you become somebody else. Don't be afraid to be who you are. Be organic, be authentic, because when you're authentic, that's when you're going to get more people engaging with you. And I think that is the key. That's how I think.
Yeah.
And there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And I love helping others, because when I help others, I become more inspired.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's so interesting, because I've had conversations, and I think, George, we've talked about this a little bit too, where you know, someone has a product or they're doing something and they're afraid to put it out because they think that somebody's going to take their idea. And I remember just thinking, like, it doesn't matter if they take your idea. You know what I mean? It's still you doing it. So even if they're doing the same exact thing, they're completely different people. It's never going to be what you can bring to the table. And that is really important for people to understand, that everyone is an individual, not only on their creative, you know, but they're also on who they are and who they want to communicate. That's mm-hmm. that's always going to be those things, you know. So that's a wonderful way of looking at it.
It also goes along with a little bit of what we talked about last week, was about, you know, finding your own voice, right? Yeah, we talked about finding your own voice. And one of the things I had mentioned was that a lot of people, let's say they're, you know, want to be good at a podcast, or they want to be good at whatever it is, and they're looking at someone else to be like them. Because let's say they have more followers, or they're more popular. So I need to be like them in order to get that popularity. And the whole point is, that's the whole thing, is you need to be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say that everybody will find an audience. Everybody will have an audience at some point. Okay. Because, you know, it's interesting, because I gravitate, like when I listen to podcasts or shows or whatever, I gravitate more towards people who are similar to me in more low key, versus the one who's, you know, out, you know, all excited and all that. After a while, I'll turn them off, because the personality just doesn't match with me.
Right.
But, you know, so it's interesting. But my voice, for me, I'm more of a low key type of person in general, and that's, you know, I can't be anything other than what I am. And I think it fits that whole thing of be yourself, and you know, people will eventually find that, right?
Yeah. Yes. I love that. And you mentioned about you love helping people, and that's one thing we talk about a lot here as well. And you do a lot with not only your shows, but as well as your teaching. Talk a little bit about helping others and how that actually, you said how it makes you feel so good.
Well, it inspires me, and I feel like when you help someone, you are giving back, because I receive from other people.
Correct.
I've been so thankful, grateful, and I always say every day, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, because mm-hmm. I've had people in my arena who've helped me mm-hmm. create the show, get the show off the ground, the pilot. So now it's about paying it forward.
That's right.
And I feel that is important, you know, to help others. People are coming to you for help.
Right.
And in the end, you know, it always, not that you expect it, but it'll, you know, come back twofold. And then first thing you know, they are bringing their followers, or if that is the case, and then you end up creating an organic network.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
And they can hire you. You do not know what people's stories are.
Exactly.
You know, you never know. So that's how I look at it, being open as well.
That's right. And I mean, I think that's one of that's how we connected, because I saw your content on Instagram, and I was like, wow, she's awesome. And I know we were also connected with Leslie as well. And I said, oh, you know, so I'm so grateful and thankful that you agreed to come on the show, because that, I saw a couple of your interviews and I thought, well, that's exactly what we're doing. You know, that's really fits in so well.
Yes.
And this is the networking that you're talking about. You know what I mean? We're it's really giving your time to really, you know, bring to the table what you actually can help others with, and then bring others in that they can go out and then help others. And then that just creates this wonderful synergy of help, you know, throughout the universe. Little dramatic.
And I just like to add, if when you're authentic, I mean, people know who you are. They're not, you know, you treat your guests and the listeners, the viewers,
that's true,
that they're experts. That you never assume anything. So you give the information and it's up to them to decide. But it's when you have that approach, I think it works.
Yeah. Definitely, being authentic is like a key thing. I think as we get more and more into people being able to consume this type of content, I think people are getting better and better at seeing the BS from the authentic, you know, somebody that's authentic. It's really obvious now that you have to be sincere, you have to be authentic, you have to be there for the right reasons. And I think all those things really play into being successful in this, in the current, you know, industry that we're in. Mm-hmm. I love that. So let me see, George, you have a question?
When did you make the decision that you wanted to do a TV show, and how did it come about?
How it came about, I was working in print media again, because what happened was they did restructuring at the paper. Mm. And then I went back to school, studied multimedia. Then I got rehired. All and then right. First thing you know, budget cuts. So I was typing. I was working on my column called A Runner's Mind. It's still going live, stronger legs, if you will. Great. And I thought, why don't I create a TV show? And I'm thinking, when I was just, I had an epiphany, I thought, oh, I'll create a show. And I'm thinking, how am I going to, oh yeah, I used to do TV, you know, why not? So I approached Doug.
Right.
And he said, send me a proposal. And that's what happened. It took 2 years to get off the ground. Wow. But I kept at it. And the pilot was, just say the pilot, it was horrible. But you know, you have to start somewhere. But that's
exactly
it. That's
exactly
how it started.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And you know, it's such a key thing about having to start somewhere. I show this this picture of me when I first started. George and I have been doing this 2 years, but I was doing it for a year before by myself during the incident that occurred on the planet. that's what I call it. But this is the picture that I show, because that was the first episode and one of the last ones. So it basically just shows that, you know, you just do it because you have a passion, your intention's in the right place, mm-hmm. You want to actually help people, but you don't have everything in place yet, mm-hmm. And you start working it, and, you know, I figured out, okay, this camera is blurry. I should probably get another camera. I should probably lose the head, the huge, you know, I look like Princess Leia. get rid of that. And then the cowboy hat just came in to play from, and then I moved to Nashville. So the cowboy hat.
It's nice. Yes.
So, but there is a process there, you know.
Yes.
So as you were, you know, a lot of people get discouraged though, you know, mm-hmm. that first pilot comes out and, you know, if it doesn't do what you expect it to do, you can get very discouraged. Where did you ever feel like maybe this is something, how did you deal with that part of it?
Well, I was disappointed, and right. I thought, I have to keep at it.
Good.
I just have to keep at it, like with my running, just keep doing it. And that's how I thought of my running.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the way it is. It's not forever. It's temporary. Mm-hmm. And if I approach the right people who can help me, constructive criticism is great.
Mm-hmm.
You learn, you know, every day we're learning.
Right.
But also, Ashley, cleaning off or getting rid of toxic relationships or toxic people.
Oh, that's huge. Huge.
You hit a very, very, yeah.
And that's what helped. That mindset, just saying, okay, just dust it off, keep going.
Yeah. I do definitely want to talk about that briefly, just because it's being in entertainment and just in this industry, there is a toxic people just seem to, I don't know, they seem to find their way in, and somebody just doesn't see them until they've already destroyed relationships and stuff. I mean, I think innately we do have the ability to spot somebody that's toxic, but maybe they have a high position, or maybe they have people protecting them, or maybe people just don't even see it and you're the only one that sees it. You know, what advice do you give to someone out there that feels that they're surrounded by, or at least has someone toxic in their environment?
I think for me, when I first meet someone, I'm very cautious, because it's about building relationships. Mm-hmm. It's about trust. It's about knowing the person's intentions. And that's how I look at it. And that's how I deal with it, because I've been like that all my life. I'm quite cautious, and it's not like I need to know to build a relationship. And therefore, and it can not only be me, it could be the other person on the other end.
Right.
So take it slow, but your intuition. I always think, when I don't listen to my intuition, guess what happens?
Yep.
Not good.
That's exactly
not
right.
Good.
That's exactly right.
So I listen to my intuition, and I feel like, why? Why do I feel like writing that story? Why do I feel like doing that interview? Why do I feel like going there for a run? When I listen, it turns out the best. So that's what I try to do, my gut and taking my time building the relationship. And there is toxic in the entertainment world and everywhere, really, but it's just how you navigate, and also using EI, your emotional intelligence. I think that is really important right now, because we're overwhelmed by texts, emails, everything.
Very true. So, very true.
Bombarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. You mentioned something that was interesting. I'm sorry, George. Did you have
something? Oh, good. Good. Good.
I was just going to ask. Sorry.
That's okay. Take over the show, John.
And I talk a lot.
Not as much as he.
You're great. You're awesome. Now I lost my train of thought. No, we were talking about having that innate ability to kind of like sense, you know, when something is not going well. You know, suppressive people that are in the environment and stuff like that. But what I do want to say is that the industry, entertainment industry, is really wonderful.
Yes.
You know, and I think it gets a bad rap, because I think the media puts up people that are either insane, but they want to capture the attention because they want to sell cereal, or they want to sell soda or McDonald's, whatever they want to sell. And they'll put up something that it just gets people's attention, you know, and it may not be good, but, you know, but overall, 99% of the people that are in entertainment, that probably a lot of people really don't know their names, are really wonderful.
Yes.
You know, it's a really wonderful industry. So, you know, I want to kind of change that narrative and try to get people to understand that, no, the entertainment is wonderful. People love it. And the world needs artists. The world needs entertainment, you know. But we have to kind of like move away from the idea that the entertainment industry is just full of like all these crazies. Because, they are there. But it's not the majority. It's actually quite the opposite. It's the minority, you know, that are cuckoo, you know. George and I are part of the cuckoos.
but again, we have the passion, right? We have the passion to create, right? And that is the thing. Like, you know, and we talked about it again on past shows, that we're all artists, because we all create, you know, whether it's music, whether it's, you know, creating a schedule, whether you're creating a running routine or whatever it is, but we're all artists. So it's a great thing. And the ability to create is just an incredible gift. And what I wanted to ask you to kind of piggyback on that was, you know, you're interviewing all these artists now on your show and these amazing actors and musicians. What is it about these folks that fascinates you?
I think it's how they got started, their passion. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's, and I feel every interview, I learn so much.
Right.
And sometimes it's like you would do, you know, you have your questions ready, but it didn't turn because they said something interesting.
Yes. Right.
And, but it's like giving them, the show is a vehicle for them to come on and talk about whatever their movie or their mm-hmm. music. And that's what I do. It's all about the guests. Right. And I don't have a favorite guest. I don't know if you're going to ask me that, but but I find everybody has a story to tell, and you learn, and you know, the industry is exciting, and it's you know, and I know I just said that, but you learn so much from people, and I hope I answered your question.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, us having done this now for a few years, you know, we would never ask who's your favorite guest because we totally understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why we do this, is to give a platform to artists and to people that are, you know, making it happen and influencing others, and, you know, giving them that platform, but also validating them as artists, you know. And but I wanted to, the interesting thing about what we all do is that you suddenly you're in front of someone that is doing something that maybe you don't do or you don't know that much about, but wow, am I fascinated by what they do. So, like, you know, we'll meet someone that's I'm not a drummer, I'm a guitar player, but we'll have a drummer on. George is a drummer. Yes. So now we have that kind of covered. George is into fitness. So we have fitness, you know, and so we have this wonderful opportunity to not only bring people in, but also to learn from so many different industries and so many different, you know, levels of life and people who are, and their journey, what you said earlier is so on point, you know, like, it's fascinating to see how they started, you know, and what was that journey like and how it brought them to here. So I love that element of it. I wanted to, George, do you have a question? Cause I have some.
No, go ahead.
So when did it, when you had the running show first, right? Run with it first. And then when, at what point did you decide that you wanted to go and interview musicians and artists?
Well, in 2005, I started a column called A Runner's Mind, and I was interviewing actors, creatives, but they were following a healthy lifestyle, you know, and I thought, I'll keep doing this. And then I had the running show, and then the people at the TV show or the broadcast said, why don't you create a music show? Because they already was interviewing artists,
right.
And I thought, hey, why not? You know, I love music. I'm not a musician like both of you, but I love music, and I love, you know, giving the vehicle, like serving and making sure that they have a story to tell and promote themselves, and that's where I come in. And so I thought, why not? And then the closing act. I don't get credit naming the show The Closing Act. It was Nick Gilder, because from he sings song Roxy Roller, because I initially had it The Opening Act.
Then,
you know, so The Closing Act, that's how it got its name. So and it just went from there, because I had a bit of experience from the column and then the run with it, and then now, you know, it's music and entertainment. So I have, like, you know, filmmakers on the show, and
I love that. You know, sometimes I think that people that love music are so important, because George and I talk to a lot of people that make music, but the ones that are consuming it are the ones that love music.
Yep.
And you don't have to be a musician to love music. And perfect example is Clive Davis. You know, I mean, the guy he's not really known as like a musical musician. But man, does he love music to the point that he's discovered some of the most incredible artists of all time, you know? So that's so fantastic. Who's your favorite guest? I'm just kidding.
Well, I do. It's really.
I'm just kidding. You don't have to answer that. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. No, I'm just teasing. No, but I love that you're able to do this and you're able to really bring to light all these artists, you know, and also when you mentioned about the platform, you know, there's so many platforms to go on, but they're not that many that actually can bring somebody on to validate them the way you do.
Right.
You know, and right, that to right. me is like really where that's the joy of someone coming on your show.
And I feel like it gives them an opportunity, as I said, you know, to promote themselves to it could be an event or a concert that's coming up and they need promotion. And what better way is to come on a show like yourself, your show or my show and talk about it. And that's when things happen not, you know, it just helps. Publicity is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have people who are up and comers on the show. I have, you know, established musicians. So it's for everyone who wants to come on the show.
Yeah.
I'll do my research.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a good thing to talk about, research, because I do a lot of that myself. And I make sure that I vet everyone, make sure that I look at what they do, you know, and because they are. You know, there has been times in the past when I've made a mistake of just thinking that someone, because they have maybe a lot of followers or something, would fit in. Right. And it turned out that it wasn't what I was thinking, you know. And it's not to say that they didn't bring any value or they don't have any talent or skill or whatever. But I make sure that when I bring some, you know, and George too, when we bring somebody onto the show, that they're going to bring the same, that energy of wanting to help others, you know, and that to me is like really a crucial part of it. I'm not really that interested in somebody that's just going to be, well, this is me and I'm great. And, you know, and which is fine because, you know, we want to validate everyone, but when someone comes to the table with wanting to help, that to me is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't know if you found this when you were interviewing folks, but John's known me all my life when we were kids. I was never a person who would have thought I would have been doing something like this.
No way.
Okay, because I was always been a very introverted person. Just to have these types of conversations in a public forum is foreign to me. So it was a lot of practicing and a lot of stumbling to do this type of stuff. But what I found in interviewing folks, and I'm wondering if you find this, is that you really, when you hear their stories and what they've gone through, it's almost like therapy, really, because you learn about yourself as well. And you're like, holy cow. And, you know, this person went through what I went through, or this person is going through what I went through, or I'm trying to reach the goal that this person reached, that type of thing. Do you find that you really, you know, after you interview someone, that you sit down and you're like, wow, it really made me think?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I feel too that once, you know, you establish you make the guests feel comfortable is when they're more open.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can share information. You can have a great conversation. And yes, when I leave the interview and I feel like, wow, this is so inspiring for me.
Yes.
And I learned a lot. It wasn't just about, and then what I really liked I find refreshing is when sometimes the guest interviews you, because we get into that place that is like, wow, you know, they know how to bring it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it becomes such a wonderful experience.
It really does. And George is right. We've learned and we've met such incredible people in the last 2 years. We never thought we'd be doing this this. You know, this started off sort of as a fluke. We wanted to talk about Star Trek, and
that's how it started.
Our first episodes were just about two geeks talking about Star Trek, and while we were interviewing a few of the guests that were, some of them have been on Star Trek and some of the films and stuff, we realized we kept going into other areas of life, you know, just, and we thought, you know what, we should just interview just artists and, yes, and opinion leaders and people that are really making it happen. And it brought us here. So this is really wonderful. I just want to bring up someone, Brian Pollock says collaboration is key. Great show. Thank you, Brian, for checking out.
Absolutely.
And yeah, collaboration is key. I mean, this is part of why what you were saying is such an important thing to have, to make sure you check people out and you kind of use your instincts to make sure that you're connecting and collaborating with someone that's not going to, you know, unfortunately waste your time, which has happened, you know, happens sometimes, you know, life suckers, you know.
Well, I'm glad you have a show because I wouldn't be here. This is wonderful.
Right. I'm glad you have a show because then I couldn't invite
That's
you.
It. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we all have shows. Everyone should have a show. You should have a show.
Yes.
Everyone. This is awesome. So now I want to talk a little bit about where people can find your show. And I want to just quickly show on the, make sure this is correct, right? Run with it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Absolutely. So they can find your show there. They can also get in contact with you if anyone has any questions or about anything. And by the way, if anybody has any questions right now and you're watching live, please shoot them in there. We're definitely would love to answer some questions. Christine would love to answer some questions. Well, I'm not answering for her. She said earlier she would like to answer questions. But yeah, so when people reach out to you, do you get a lot of questions about running mostly or about interviewing or writing?
You know what? I would say it's more about running. I mean, it's nice to, you know, to say, well, how do I start a show? I mean, I'm teaching at BCIT, how to, you know, freelance producing, and that's wonderful. I love it. And yeah, so it's just been an incredible journey, and I still keep learning and keep improving the shows. And yeah, it's just, I love what I do.
That's great. And thank you, by the way, because I know you did invite me to one of your classes, and that was so much fun and so many great questions. I had a ball.
Yes.
Do you teach that? Is that something that you teach regularly?
Well, every Monday.
Okay.
I finished in April, I believe, back in the fall. But yes, it was wonderful to have you as a guest, John. It was they really enjoyed having you.
Oh, cool! Thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and they asked questions that I really had to think about.
wait a second. Well, everything's automatic, right? Sometimes you just do it automatically. You don't really think about it.
Right.
So, yeah. Steps. I mean, for the most part, I think 99% of what we do here is really natural conversation that we're having because we're interested in who we're talking to. You know, I don't think we've ever really been stumped, you know, especially being interviewed or interviewing someone. You know, sometimes you'll have an interview, and you probably have experienced this having interviewed so many people, that, you know, maybe the interviewer is not experienced in being interviewed. So their questions, you know, we talked about this earlier, George. You know, sometimes they answer their question like, "Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, did you always like music?" "Yes, I did."
Yeah.
Yes. hold on, let me get my book and start going through questions. You know, but that challenge of it is almost makes it really exciting too. You know, because now you have to really kind of play
the energy, right? But if you send, like, I don't know, like propose questions and really could you elaborate a bit further? And then sometimes it's an icebreaker. Sometimes you feel kind of shy or you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you come alive afterwards. Yeah. It's just.
Yeah. It's really part of the job of someone who's interviewing to make the guest feel comfortable and want to share, you know, and want to share. So that's key. So tell us a little bit about what's coming up and what you're working on.
Yes. Well, I'm always interviewing, which is great. And so I have the two shows right now. They're going to be sent off before, like, the both shows have to be in every, before the 9th of every month, I should say. Oh, okay. So two shows, plus my shows now are live streaming. They just started live streaming, which is That's really great on Apple. Nice. My podcast, I love my podcast. That's on Spotify, Amazon. But yes, just really, you know, I love teaching, and I nothing really. It's just, I just keep doing, keep going. Like Forrest Gump, you know? You just keep. Right.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly, exactly. The keep going part is the part that sometimes you have to kind of like stop for a second and kind of, first of all, you have to enjoy.
Yes.
You know, I live in Tennessee. I never thought, I'm a Puerto Rican from the Bronx. I don't know what happened, but I ended up in Tennessee. And sometimes I'm driving around and I have to like realize, and I see the mountains and beautiful lakes, and I'm literally just driving home, and I have to stop for a second, because in my head, I'm thinking of the next thing. You know, I have a show tonight, or I have this to do, or I have that. But I have to kind of take a moment to enjoy the process and enjoy the journey that I'm on, because that's part of it as well.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like running. That's why running, as I said earlier, I go running a lot, because that's where I find my time to just recharge my batteries. But also too, it's important, like self-care, right? Which is taking breaks, you know, taking, you know, eye breaks from your computer.
Just
walk away from it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's hard to do with technology, right? That's why, as I said, I run watch lists, right? I feel like leave the technology at home. I don't need it right now.
Yes.
And, you know, some days I do, right? Of course, but it just helps.
Yeah, and I try really hard on the weekends to not go to the computer, you know, now I have my phone. So, you know, obviously the phone is what it is, but, just to sit in front of the computer, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go there for the weekend. And last weekend I was actually successful. I actually did that.
Yay. That's great.
Yeah, so it was a good, I wasn't home though. I was doing other things, but so that might have been a reason, but anyway, so let me just, show your site again on the screen there. We're at almost an hour now. I want to start, you know, just finding out, like, you know, one of the things that we usually ask our guests, you know, is at the end of the show, we know that the last couple of years have been kind of rough for a lot of people, and there are people out there that are still, you know, trying to figure out how to get out or try to do something or be motivated to do, to follow their passion. Do you have a few pieces of advice that you can actually give to anyone out there?
Yes, you mean like after the post-pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, I think too, it's an opportunity to, you know, change up your activities, right? Some people, like I know, are no longer runners, but they chose another activity. Could be snowshoeing if there's winter, or it could be cycling. And also too, is don't be afraid to reach out to talk to people about, you know, I like to start something, but I don't know what at this point. I find that when you are fearless, then things happen. I feel like, you know, there's always something to learn. So choose a different activity, maybe find a mentor, right? And I also think too, travel, now that, you know, we can travel.
Yeah.
I also think too, is that being around people is very positive, right? That support as well. So
it's very important to be able to find someone to, you know, reach out to people, you know, because it was a lot of people were very lonely, obviously. And, you know, that was actually one of the reasons why I started the show, was because I was sort of like I'm home now. I don't know what to do. So I started this thing. And but it's been so helpful, not just for me, but for those that have watched it and said, oh, wow, that was really good. I'm glad you're doing this. And it motivates others to kind of take a little bit more action and responsibility as well, you know, to move forward. But yes, thank you so much for that. I love that. So Christine, this has been like such a pleasure to have you on the show. We'd love to have you back again, because one of the things that I think we didn't cover as much was the actual fitness portion of running, when it actually does, and fitness. So we'd love to have you back sometime. And we'll dive into the fitness portion and even more. So we talk about interviewing, and you know, there's just so much that we can talk about here.
Yes. Well, I want you back. I want you on my show. I was going to say on my back on my show. But I'm on my show. It feels like we've done this before. This is how comfortable I feel. This is how comfortable I feel. And I love the
question. Good. Absolutely.
It's been a blast. I really enjoy it.
Awesome. You know, really, awesome.
It's fun. Awesome.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Christine, thank you so much. Yes. Don't go away, actually. We're going to end the show real quick. We'll be right back. So please just hang on tight. Everyone, Christine Blanchett.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic stuff there.
That's why we do this. And week after week, we get so inspired. And I hope you're out there being inspired as well, because it really brings a lot of joy when we get the messages of how much you enjoy the show. And Christine is definitely somebody that's very motivational and very inspiring. So we're really grateful that she took the time to spend with us, and it was very nice. I was going to play some music. It didn't play.
There you go. All right. Nice, soft music.
Chill out and end our show. But anyway, we want to just thank everybody for tuning in. Also, we want to remind everyone that we do have an anniversary show coming up on March 4th. It'll be our second wedding. George and I have been married now for 2 years. I think a lot of people don't really know how close we are. I said that because March is my wedding anniversary. It's 20 years.
Wow.
But March 4th, George and I are not married. We will be celebrating our anniversary.
Listen, I could barely take him for 2 years. His wife takes him for 20. So,
yeah, she's an amazing, amazing woman. But yes. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful week ahead. We'll see you all next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, counterpartsshow.com. And we'll see you. Take care. And as always,